What's good? Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles today to the book of Genesis, not a very far turn. So we're going to be talking about the first man, Adam. The first man, Adam. Now, I know that I probably will not be sharing anything with you today that you have not heard before. But why is Adam important to study? Because that was God's original intention for man and for mankind. So whatever is in the garden, that's what God wanted us to live like. So it's imperative that we study Adam and we study Genesis to see where we're going and what God had planned for us. So look to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read at first, we're going to read verse 26 through 28. He says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, we're so grateful, not just that we're in your house, but more because you're in the house, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, that when we gather together, we have the promise of God that you're right here. Lord, I pray today, as we prayed last night, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to our heart. God, I pray that Sunday morning would not be a ritual to us, but it would be a time of renewal, Father, a time that you would wake us up and plant something in our heart that will change our future, God. So today, Lord, we place our heart and life on the altar, and we ask, God, that you would come in and that you would do some surgery on us and correct us. And Father, it's possible that there's some infection deep in our heart. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would dig that out, Father, and take your scalpel of the Word of God and go deep into our heart and pull out any infection, anything that you know is going to cause us ill, Father, later on down the road. God, we give you permission, Lord, to uncover that and to lay it bare and to take it out of our heart. So, God, that we would leave today completely whole in you, a new creature in Christ with a new destiny, a new future, and a new promise of tomorrow, Father. God, I pray today, use these words to bring life to each and every person, every believer in here. God, I ask, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, we read in Genesis chapter 1 where God begins to make man, but I want to back up a little bit and just go through creation. And because young people are inundated with different theories of how we got here, and they need to know the truth of the matter is that God created us, and God created everything that you see. God's spoken into existence. There's some hard concepts in the book of Genesis, like God always was. Do you remember the time when you tried to figure out, okay, if God created everything, who created God? No one. God always was. Now try to wrap your mind around that. That's difficult, right? You're going to realize how small your mind is when you try to wrap it around that one. But in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God was. In the beginning, God is. And let me just tell you, in the end, God is, right? And he has not changed. I heard this saying the other day. The God that does not change is always up to something new. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the truth? God is always doing something new, but He doesn't change. So God was. Psalms 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were born, or were brought before the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. He was there before the mountains were there. Before the trees, God was there. He brought chaos into order. It's what the Word of God says. He brought chaos. Many people believe that Satan fell to the earth, and that's where the chaos came, and God recreated the earth. It's not nothing that you have to believe, but it is a theory of a lot of people. So on day one, God spoke light into being, and most people believe that He said, "Light be." And when God said, "Light be," all of a sudden there was light. Now it's interesting, because I think it was the second or third day, maybe the fourth day, when God creates the sun. But on day one, He creates light. A few days later, He creates the sun, moon, and stars. And I, you know, my mind, I'm thinking, okay, God, if there is no sun, where did that light come from? I think it came from the same thing that lights up heaven every day. The heaven doesn't have a sun. It has an S-O-N that lights up the place. And I believe that's the light that the earth first, that's shown on the earth first. So He said that God separated darkness from light. And it says the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the earth. I think it's interesting, because I believe the Spirit of God still hovers. I believe the Spirit of God even today is hovering in this place. The Spirit of God hovers, waiting for God to speak so He can execute the plan of God. So whatever God speaks, the Spirit of God goes into action and makes it happen. Wonder what the Lord is going to speak today. It's possible that the Lord is going to speak freedom from something for you. There is something in your life that's holding you captive, that's got a hold on your life. Maybe it's bondage, maybe it's pornography or alcohol, something that no one may even know, but there's some kind of bondage on your life, and what you're looking for is the Word of God. When God speaks the word that says, depart from him, depart from her, the Spirit of God goes into action and brings you that freedom, and those chains fall in Jesus' name. I love that. Day two, God creates land, and He called it earth. And then the atmosphere, He called heaven. You know, the Jews believed that there was like four heavens, so the heavens continued upward. And also, when you really read this, it says God divided the water that is below the earth and above the earth. And at that time, at the time of creation, there was water on the earth, but there was water above the earth. And the scientists have studied this, and they said that would create like a greenhouse effect, and it would be absolutely pure oxygen to breathe. We would live in perfect health with that kind of oxygen. Many people have asked themselves this question: why did the Old Testament saints live so long? Right? How come they lived to be 900 years old, and then all of a sudden it begins to diminish pretty rapidly? I think because sin had not marred the earth yet. Sin has not brought its detriment. You know, with sin comes death, and it came in every way. But Adam and Eve were created to live forever. And in that environment, they would have. They would have lived forever until sin entered in. So when God flooded the ark, or flooded the earth, all He did is broke that vapor of water above the earth. And when He broke that water that was above the earth, it flooded the earth. We'll get to that maybe later. On day three, God began to put some principles in place. But God made the earth productive. God caused a law to go into effect. And that law is seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest is still into effect. So when you plant an orange seed, you'll get an orange tree. You won't get an apple tree. Every seed bears forth of its own kind. So therefore, you're reproducing who you really are. You ever wonder where your kids get that nonsense? Get your mirror out. That nonsense came from my wife. That's where it came. Seed time and harvest, we reproduce who we are. On day four, God creates time. He created day and night. He created seasons in our life on day four. This is really important. For too long, we've neglected to talk about seasons in our life. There are different seasons. These young people up here are in a different season than some of you back there. They're in a season of beginning. Some of you are in the season of end. We would do well if we would recognize the season of life that we're in and then live it to the most, right? Live it with God's instruction. Whatever season that you're in, God's got a plan for that season in your life. There's no necessarily a retirement season in God's plan. God's plan is that you'll be productive all the days of your life. Doesn't mean that you can't quit work. Just means you change bosses. God's got a plan for you to do something. Day five, God creates sea creatures, big and small. Creates all the birds. On day six, God creates animals and says everything that creeps upon the earth, God created. And on day six, God specifically created man. He created Adam. And that's when the story begins. On day seven, God created the Sabbath. And this is an important time. God created the Sabbath and he rested. And we must get back to honoring the commandments of the Lord that says, keep the Sabbath. Guys, I know this is not good preaching material in a Pentecostal church or in any church, but I'm going to tell you, we better start honoring the Sabbath. Some of us wonder why our lives are shortened. It's because we have not honored the Sabbath and we are not resting one day a week. We must learn to put this into practice. That commandment, I believe it's the fourth commandment, it's the only commandment where God uses himself as the example. Just as I did. I created the world in 6 days and I rested on the seventh. You think you're greater than God? You're not. You're not smarter, that's for sure. We're made in his image, but we're not made above him. Right? So we need to learn to rest. What does that look like exactly? I'm not sure. I've not been practicing it myself. So I'm preaching to me as well as to you. But I just know we need to look in this thing. And we need to do a little better job. Whatever day you decide to use is your Sabbath. In Genesis chapter 1, the very first thing that stood out to me is when God said, let us make man. If we can go back to our grammar class in high school and in grammar school, we'll remember that us is plural. He is showing the plurality of God right here. Let us make man in our own image. In John chapter 1, verse 1 and through 3, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made has been made. I messed that up, I'm pretty sure. And then verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. It's likely that some of these words may be a little different. I think I used two different versions. I typed yours in one and typed mine in another. I apologize for that. So we see that God created man. Man did not evolve. Man was created. Man was created and man was placed in the garden. Many people believe that God created man in the garden. It doesn't say that. Read your word closely. God created man and placed him in the garden. And he placed him there for a task, to do something, to till the soil, to keep the ground. If God made man and put a task in his heart to do, then don't you think that God's got a task for you today? We're not, A lot of people think that we're going to go to heaven and we're going to float around on clouds. I got news for you. That ain't ever been God's business. God's not in the business of you just twiddling your thumb, floating around on the cloud, saying, isn't this wonderful? We're coming back. We're going to have a job to do. So if we're going to have a job in the millennial, doesn't it make sense that you probably got a job right now? I think we need to listen to the Spirit of God. I think we need to say, God, what am I to be doing right now? But I believe we're supposed to be doing something. Now, God says that we were created in His image and in His likeness. And those are two different Hebrew words. And I looked and looked and looked to try to find the difference in them. But everything I could see is basically those terms are synonymous. It's Selim and Dumuth, the Hebrew words. But when you look at the Selim, the first one for image, if you go to the Greek, it's the same word that we get the word photograph from. Now we know that we don't look like God, right? Because the Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God doesn't have eyes and ears like you, right? But somehow God made us to be a photograph of Him, to be made in His image, to be made in His likeness. We are to resemble God. So think about the difference in man and animal. I believe that we have creative thought. God made us in His image because we can think, we can reason. We may not reason, but we can reason. We can be logical thinkers. We have the ability to think, to reason, to love, to choose, to create, to be artistic. But here, to me, is the most important thing. God created man in the image of God by giving him and making him a speaking spirit. You see, God created this earth by speaking it into existence. Then He made man in His image, thereby giving us the same ability that God had, letting us use our words and speak things into existence. Now, some of you, in your mind, you want to argue with that. But the truth of the matter is, even the world knows this is true. Now, here's what I'm not teaching. I'm not saying that everything you say, you get. But I'm saying, I think we ought to be working it. I think we ought to be going towards it. God has put something dramatically incredible in our lips. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, there's the power of life or death is in my tongue. I can create or I can kill with my tongue. And you know it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Has there ever been a bigger lie told than that? You know words hurt you worse than a spanking, right? I remember as a kid, I'd rather my mom spank me any day as talk mean to me. Man, I could tough it out if she spanked me, but when she started telling me what a poor choice I had made and stuff like that, man, I just bawl because I couldn't handle being a disappointment to her. I didn't mind her spanking me, but don't tell me I'm a disappointment. Words have power. Words have life. Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Guys, I want you to get this. The power of life and death. You've been made in God's image. God is a triune being. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You're a triune being. Body, soul, and spirit. We are made in God's image. We are the photograph of God. We're made like Him. We're made to reproduce. God reproduces with His tongue, with speaking things into existence. Do you realize you can talk your future into existence? I know some of you think, oh, Pastor, you are so far out there. Am I? Have you ever heard the word self-fulfilling prophecy? Have you ever heard that? Are you asleep? And you're waking us up, Pastor. People will say things and it will happen. I'm saying, if we know that's true, why not use it? Why can't we start speaking things of life into our life? God has given us a unique ability that He has of speaking powerfully, of speaking life. So rather than going around saying how bad you feel all the time, why not say, bless the Lord, I'm healed in Jesus' name. You know, everything I do, it just messes up. What a terrible confession. Why not say, I've got the Midas touch, bless God. Everything I touch turns to gold. You say, Pastor, that'd just be nothing but a lie. Maybe it'd be a lie now, but maybe later it wouldn't be a lie if you change your confession. Are you getting this? This is something powerful. God created us as a speaking spirit. Dogs don't speak. Well, look. Speak. And I've heard some of them say, amen. Or there's one dog on Facebook that says, I love you. You heard it? He's saying, I love you. Boy, how desperate are we than when we need our dog to tell us, I love you. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 through 10 says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That's to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? Now listen, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the mouth one believes into righteousness, and with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you recognize how important your words are? It's absolutely important even for salvation. He's saying, here's how you're saved. You got to believe in your heart, but you got to confess with your mouth. Now, how many of you, if you can remember when you got saved, shortly after you got saved, the devil came to you. What's he say? You're not really saved. Look at you. And you know, I don't know about you, but most of us, it takes a long time to get past that lie. Because you don't look saved. And you don't feel saved. But you keep confessing, I am saved because His Word says I'm saved. And what happens? Your life starts changing, right? God starts transforming you from the inside out. Why? Because you're confessing it. If you got to confess salvation, confess that Jesus forgives you of your sin, that you're saved, what if we started confessing healing? What if we started confessing that our kids are saved rather than the little monsters? What if we say he'll probably be in jail by the time he's 18? There's a good chance that you're going to get what you're saying. I suggest you change your words. Say, but you don't know their actions. I'm telling you, don't judge it by the actions. I'm saying let faith get in your mouth. So we start speaking things before they look like that. That's what we did to this young man up here on the front row. We started speaking healing. We're still speaking that. I still pray for him every day. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he who begun a good work and you will complete it. The work of healing will be completed in Michael. That's the word of God, and that's the truth, and that should be in your mouth. Well, how about your marriage? My marriage is successful. My marriage is a blessing. My marriage will prosper. Right? Rather, do you not? I come from a divorced home. I can remember the first fight that we had. We've been married about 3 years before we ever had a fight. It was her fault, of course. But I can remember that fight. You know what my thoughts were? Now, this is the beginning of the end. I remember laying in bed after we got past that and telling her my thoughts. And she said, that's ridiculous. It's just a fight. It's nothing more than that. But to me, My paradigm was every marriage ends in divorce. I'm telling you, 37 years later, 23 years later, 69 years later, not every marriage ends in divorce. Let me just go on. And I don't care which marriage this is for you. This may be number one. This may be number two. Maybe marriage number three. It may be marriage number four. You don't live in the past. You say, this marriage is God anointed. This marriage will continue. Change your talk. You hear me? We're speaking spirits. God gave us the example in Adam. Can I just go on and say this? Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. The New Testament tells us that. He was not deceived. Why was he not deceived? Because God had spoke to him. He knew the words of God. He knew the truth of God. I'm preaching a lot better than you're shouting, I'll tell you that. 2 Corinthians 4:13 said, and since we have the same spirit of faith, can we stop there? And since we have the same spirit of faith, and since we have the same spirit of faith, wonder where that same spirit of faith came from. It's the same spirit of faith that God created the heavens and the earth with. It's the faith of God that he gave you. Are you getting this? Wake up, church. You got to get it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Why are you going there, Pastor? Because I'm going to tell you, you need to start speaking the word of God over your life. The word of God is living. It's active. And when it says it's sharper than a double-edged sword, here's what it means. It means it's just as powerful when it comes out of your mouth as when it came out of Jesus' mouth. So put it into play. Put it into action. Start speaking the word of God. Let it come into your heart and cut into your heart. Say, God, show me the motives of my life. He will do that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. He says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now look down to verse 15. He says, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you'll surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. For Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs, closed it up on the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So God formed man. It means to mold, to shape, or to form like a potter. So we literally are that clay that God has taken and he's made it to an image, into a form. But here's the neatest part. God made Adam from the dust, from dirt. We wonder why some of us are black. Some of us are brown. Some of us are white. There's all different color dirt. But dirt is dirt. There's not a good dirt and a bad dirt. It's just a different color dirt. Right? So we're all formed from the same thing. And then God made Eve and brought her. She was made to be a helper for Adam. We'll talk about that in just a second. I love the verse where he says, he made him, and I think at that point he was just a shell. He was just a body. And then God breathed into him, and he became a living soul. Zoe, living, alive. In the New Testament, God breathes the Holy Spirit into each saved Christian. And then we become alive in him, right? The Holy Ghost dwells within us. God gave Adam dominion. He charged him to take dominion. He named every... Do you realize how stinking incredibly intelligent Adam was? This guy was genius. Named all the atoms into the classes of Adam. I couldn't understand that when I was in science class. I couldn't keep it straight. Could you? I mean, it's all different kinds of sophisticated classifications of animals. Adam named them all. Isn't that amazing? You know, scientists say that we use about 1/10 of our brain. Some of you, I believe Adam used 100% of his brain. Because there is no sin. Nothing to damage him. Isn't that incredible? Why is that important? Because what God created Adam in the Garden of Eden is what he really wanted. That's where we're headed back. God created Adam for fellowship. Intense communion. Where God came down every day and walked and talked with Adam. What a life. Do you realize in the New Testament that's what Jesus has done for us? He removed the dividing wall so that you can walk and talk with Jesus every day of your life. He literally even put the Holy Ghost inside of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? You may be a broken clay pot, but I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, even in your brokenness, the Spirit of God lives within inside of you. It's a remarkable thing. God said, Adam, take charge. Take charge of this earth. Adam sinned. Gave up dominion. It's where Satan took over. I think it's fascinating to think in a perfect environment, in Garden of Eden, in a perfect environment where God is coming down every day and talking to Adam and Eve, Satan could deceive Eve. Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. I'm going to tell you, if God could deceive Eve, if Satan could deceive Eve, thank you. Hail Mary, full of grace, Father. He can deceive you. Stay in the Word. Stay grounded in Jesus. Stay in communion with the Holy Ghost. Right? He said, Adam, take charge. I want you to live in dominion. Do you know what kingdom stands for? It's the dominion of the king. The dominion of the king. Do you realize we live in the dominion of the king? We live in God's kingdom because Jesus has restored what Adam gave up. Adam created his future. He lived in authority. How many of you feel like life just happens to me? Bad things just seem to happen. I can't stop it. I definitely don't live in the... I'm not the authoritarian of my life. I'm just the recipient of life. How many? Come on, raise your hand. said, that's the way life seems to me. It just seems to happen, and I had to put up with. Why do you think we have phrases like this? You just got to deal with the hands you're dealt. See, you just got to deal with the cards you've been dealt. Make the best of your hand. I got news for you. I don't believe that's true. I believe God come to reestablish so that we could walk in dominion. I believe God wants us to live like Adam. Do we live it perfectly? No, because we live in a fallen world and because we have fallen brains. But God wants to transform us by the renewing of my mind through the washing of the word. Right? God is renewing us daily, transforming us so that we think the thoughts of God. Why? So we live in dominion. Not what life happens to us. Satan is not to be your master. God is your master. I say let's take authority and let's begin to try to operate like God has created us to operate. Does that mean nothing bad's ever going to happen to me again, Pastor? Don't be foolish. We live in a fallen world. It does mean the greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And there is nothing so bad that can happen to you that God cannot fix it. So the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me this morning as I was taking my shower. And he said, you cannot live in dominion until you take responsibility for you. You got to quit blaming everybody else for who you are today. Now maybe bad things has happened in your life. I got news for you. Bad things has happened in every one of our lives. But it's not going to help you to keep pushing the blame off on someone else. I could tell you a few sad stories. But you know what? Mine's no better, no worse than yours. I can tell you a victorious story too. When I was 7 years old, I heard an evangelist preaching and I ran to an altar where God saved me and filled me, baptized me in the Holy Ghost in the same night. I went home to a drunken father, but my life changed that day. It's never been the same again. Why? Because God came into my world. Are you getting it? It don't help me to keep blaming people that's done me wrong. And I've got plenty. And so do you. I take responsibility for who I am today. I take responsibility of that so I can place it on the altar of God. Not so I can keep blaming others, but just say, God, I look the way I look because it's my fault. I've messed up. I've blown it. It ain't nobody's fault but mine. I take responsibility. And I only take responsibility so I can give it to you. Because I need your help. I need you. I am defenseless without you. I want you to get this today, guys. I want you to get it that we are living so below our means. We are living and letting Satan just beat us over the head. And I think it's time we start beating his head. I think it's time that we take the role that God has created us for. And if we stay in fellowship with him, and if we will use our words wisely, we will rise. I hope you're getting that. I know the more exciting part is when God realized everything he created was good. Oh, this is good, this is good, this is good. And he looks at man and he said, oh, that ain't good. What's not good? That man was alone. So he created a helper for him. Literally, it's what the word says, a helper. You know who else is a helper? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our helper. I believe women have a very divine role in life. Very similar to the Holy Spirit. The literal word is help meet. To help meet what God has called Adam to do. Notice that, and you've heard this before, God didn't take a bone from Adam's head. He couldn't afford one for sure. And he didn't take it from his foot. so that we could rule over our wives. He took it from around his heart, from his ribs, so that man could protect woman, and that woman could comfort and be comforted by her husband. I believe when God brought Adam, or brought Eve to Adam, and he said, "Here she is, this is what I created." I believe if you go back and you look in the original Greek, it would say, "Whoa, mama!" That's the original words, I'm pretty sure. I think it blew his socks off. "Dear Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, God," right? There was an excitement there. And I think there should still be an excitement. After 69 years, I hope that Garthel's eyes pop open when Jesse walks into the room. Maybe that's asking too much, I don't know. Psalms 8:6 says, "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet." In Romans chapter 5, verse 17 through 19 says, "For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also the obedience of the one man, the many were made righteous." Are you getting what I'm saying? Adam blew it. He gave up his dominion, but Jesus got it back for us. Matthew 28:18, he says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go.'" The implied thing here is, you go in my authority. You get it? You go in my authority and make disciples. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has restored dominion for the saints of God. It's time we start walking like it. It's time we start living like it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 through 24, we see, and we've read it already, God creates woman, whom Adam named Eve. She was the mother of all living thing. I just say that to say this: God established marriage. Marriage is between one woman and one man. And I don't care what the Supreme Court says, it is wrong, wrong, wrong. God's the one that established it. God ordained it. God's spoken into existence. This is the way it's supposed to be. If that offends you, I'm sorry. You're probably in the wrong church. Because it's going to be preached, and it's going to be preached a lot. Now, I'm not saying that we think less of homosexuals. I'm just saying don't accept it as an alternate lifestyle. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's a sin. It's no different than a person having an adulterous affair. That's a sin. It's not God's best. Viewing pornography, it's a sin. Drinking alcohol is not a disease. It's a sin. I think it's time we get back to labeling things the right way. Let me just go down this rabbit trail a little bit more. So what do you do? Because I know there's several of you that have homosexual children. Several in this congregation. Several family members are homosexuals. Do we preach to them every time we get together? No. And you don't correct them, or you don't tell them your displeasure. You pray for them. You love them. You show them the love of Christ. They probably know where you stand. If they don't, then you need to share that with them. One time, let them know, on the authority of the Word of God, I believe your lifestyle is wrong. But we're not going to elevate it up above any other sin. Okay? It's sin. It's sin just like everything. It's going to send you to hell? Yes. But so will your sin if you don't deal with it and take it through the cross. Okay? Wasn't planning on going there today. So I got some questions to ask you. Number one, am I living in intimacy and fellowship with God like Adam did? Do I talk to Him daily? Isn't it amazing that God thought it necessary to come down and talk to Adam every day? Do you think that it's probably necessary for you to talk to Him every day, not just on Sundays? Some of you wonder why you live defeated lives. It's because you're eating one meal a week. You're starving to death. You just don't know it. You need to start talking to Him every day. You need to have fellowship, intimacy. I don't know how you see this. I see God and Adam laughing together in the garden. I don't think God's always somber. I don't think He's always looks like He just ate a lemon. Well, what you do today wrong, Adam? I don't believe that was the conversation at all. I believe they enjoyed each other's company. I believe when you get together in prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, probably you're doing it wrong. That's good preaching. Number two, am I living a life of dominion or am I being dominated? Am I being dominated by fear? Am I being dominated by the failures of my past? Am I being dominated by a spirit? Yeah, there's still spirits. You remember the guy in the guy that said, just call me Legion because there's so many demons in me. The demons, when they were talking to God, they said, just send us out into those pigs. There was 2,000 pigs. I think if one demon went into every pig, that's 2,000 demons that guy had inside of him. 2,000 demons couldn't stop a man from kneeling at the feet of Jesus and worshiping Him. Isn't that amazing? You may have a spirit tormenting you. Don't give it more authority than what it has. Let's take dominion over that. Right? You have dominion. Don't let your past, don't let failure of the past, don't let fear of the past go into your future. And number three, is my marriage fruitful? And is it a blessing to the kingdom? Or am I a part of the problem? I believe that marriage can either be heaven or hell on earth. Some of you that's been married multiple times says, I know what you're saying now, brother, is right. See, I grew up where marriage was hell. It was awful. I mean, there was no peace in our home. They were always fighting. My mom literally threw a brick at my dad one time and knocked a door down. My dad slugged my mom so hard that it left knots on her forehead. He'd been a boxer in the Navy. He knew how to slug. I can testify to that. I'm telling you, my childhood was horrendous. I didn't want to get married because I thought that. You know, it's possible today that you're living in a marriage that's not so great. Does it have to stay that way? Nope, it doesn't. I got good news for you. Men, if you'll quit praying for your wife to change and start praying for God to change you, your marriage will shape up. Women, if you'll quit acting like that man of yours doesn't have a brain, he's got a brain. He's smart enough to marry you.
That's right.
I should have gotten a better amen out of the women for that. Start praying for your attitude to change.
Yes.
God can transform your marriage in a day. I heard this too. You know, we have a 12-step program for this and a 10-step program for this. And if you'll read these six books, you'll be on the pathway. You know, God had a one-step program. Let's go from darkness to light in one step. I believe God can do that still yet in your life. I believe God can do that in your marriage. A one-step program. It's bad. Let's make it good. I'm preaching so much better than you guys are looking at me. This is good stuff. If you're in a bad way, you ought to be shouting about now. I'm not telling you lies. I'm telling you truth. If you're stuck in a sinful situation, in one step, God can take you out of it. That's hope. I don't know anything that you could be doing or that you could be stuck in that God can't change it. But it all starts right here in an altar. Are you willing to give it up? Are you willing to say, God, I need a makeover? I need my marriage to be good. I want my marriage to be a blessing. You know, I believe God wants to use marriages in this last days to show the world that there is such a thing as God. Man has pretty much destroyed marriage. God can restore it if we'll do it His way. Guys, that's hopeful. Don't you get that? That's just hopeful. Maybe you've had a bad marriage. This one could be totally different if you'll do it God's way. Maybe you're in a bad marriage. God can change it. Maybe you're a bad person. Maybe when you look yourself in the mirror, you say, I don't see anything good. Been there, done that. God can change your identity. He can change your actions to reflect who you really are in God. Don't let your actions identify you. Let the Word of God identify you. Oh, I'm preaching another sermon now. I'm sorry. Stand with me. I've gave you three things to consider. I want to go back over just one thing. Would you close your eyes with me? I felt so much at the beginning of the week. All through the week, that so many people in the kingdom of God today feel like life is just happening to them. And I think that it's time that we give that authority to the Lord, that we become the people of God who He wants us to become. We have been called to rule and to reign. Don't let life beat you up. Why not start beating back life? Why not start winning? There is nowhere in the scriptures where God calls you a failure. God says you're a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You're triumphant. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Nowhere in the scripture does God say, I've called you to live a defeated life. No, sir. He called you to rule and to reign. As your authority is Him, not the government, not your mind, it's Jesus Christ. He'll give you the instructions so that you can live in as the authoritarian of your life. Not to be domineering, but to dominate. To dominate Satan. Aren't you tired of Satan having his way over you? I just want to throw this out there, guys. There's a better way. There's a better way. Jesus Christ wants you to win. He didn't create Adam to be a failure. And He didn't create you to be a failure. There are no failures in the kingdom of God. Can I say it this way? God doesn't create junk. So when you look in the mirror and you see junk, you see the leftovers, you see that God messed up, God made your face the wrong way, and God made your personality the wrong way, and God didn't give you a mind as smart as everybody else. I'm here to tell you, stop cursing God. Stop cursing God. He made you exactly the way He wanted you. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. Every one of us different, but every one of us made in His image. Quit cursing God and start blessing Him. Start looking at yourself in the mirror saying, thank you, God, that you made me with this warped sense of humor. I'm not for sure what I'm going to do with it, but I know it's from you. Thank you, God, that I don't see life like everybody else sees it. But you've given me eyes to see differently. And I bless you, God. I bless you. I thank you, God, that you made me who I am. Now perfect it and use it for your kingdom. We got to quit cursing God, folks. We got to take what He made and let's make it the best. Let Him perfect it. I don't have to ask you to raise your hand because I know you're here. I know this sermon's of God. I just don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know if you're going to say that pastor's crazy. And you wouldn't be too off. He is a bit crazy. He's crazy enough to believe the word of God. And I hope that you are. I do know this. That every time the word of God is sown into your heart, there's a seed planted. And if you don't act upon that seed, Satan will steal it before you get out of these doors. You've got to act upon the seed that's been planted in your heart. You've got to say, Jesus, I accept this. I accept it and I'm looking for a change. It don't matter if you tell me about it. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do anything. But you got to tell Him. You got to lift your voice and say, Jesus, some of the things that preacher was saying really hit me. And I sure need you to change my life. Do you realize that's all He needs? That is all God needs to come into your life and begin to start a work. And I believe there's lots of folks in here today. Some of you have been saved for a long time. Some of you may not even be saved. But I'm telling you, God wants to start a work in you. If you're not saved, you need to start off with a prayer of repentance. Say, God, I believe that there really is a Jesus Christ who really lived and died on the cross for my sins. And I confess that I am a sinner. I ask that you come into my heart and that you save me and start your work in me and start remaking me into the more of the image of God than ever before. See, if you'll just say a prayer very similar to that, God will start His work in you. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray, Lord, that we would act upon this seed that's been planted. God, I pray that we would quit letting life just beat us over the head. And God, I pray and I ask, Lord, that you would use this seed to begin to transform us so that we walk like Adam in dominion. And you use us for the kingdom of God. God, I pray right now that the authority of Jesus Christ would come into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, that we would begin to regain that consciousness of dominion. And God, I pray that we would watch our words and we would begin to use our words to reform who we are and to reform our future of who we're going to be. I thank you, God. Help us to speak your word over us. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Ray is going to come in.